The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello, everyone. Here I am as introduced. I'm Roy Masters. And in the first hour, I started to get to the root of what is destroying this country wholesale. And I have warned you, remember, if you've been listening to me many years, about 25 years or 30 years ago, I left the house on the water with a boat. And I love fishing. But fishing is fishing. I want to be a fisherman, a man. And I see the danger coming. And I'm talking about it on radio. And I said, I don't know what to do. And then I had a dream. If I didn't have a dream, it was like this. I woke up one morning and it says, I was muttering to myself, let me see what it was. Red River, Rogue River, Rouge River. And now, what connected me to those words, I was just muttering to myself, why? I saw a movie with my brother when he was here many years ago, and it was a lousy picture, but it was, I didn't know whether it was Rouge River, Rogue River, that was also connected to it. I remember the Nash Rambler he had with a strange cloth top so he could open it. It was a crummy car. But why do I remember that? Because it's seminal to what I'm saying. I don't know why I think remember things and forget others. And so, again, week after week, Rogue River, Rouge River, Red River. What is it? What is it saying to me? Okay, so I had a little run-in with my vice president. I gave him 6 months' salary, and he went up to Oregon. And he calls me. First of all, he started as a chimney sweep because he didn't have any skills. He's an actor. He used to be an actor. Not very well known, but he did. And then, he then transferred into real estate. And he was in Oregon. And so, in Grants Pass. And he says, I've got a very interesting piece of property for you. And it may have been longer than, maybe 40 years ago. See, because there had to be a beginning of that. But it was a long time ago. And I was enjoying my house and fishing. And I figured that if I had a boat, a ocean boat that would carry me away. Because I remember in England, the Germans were only 20 miles away. And there's no escape. But I knew that was something terrible was going to happen to America. I had never stopped. And so I put fuel and guns in my car, in the boat. But learn to use it and learn some skills, how to get from one place to another. Although it wouldn't be any good anymore. You got pirates everywhere. So, but Rouge River, Rogue River, it kept on coming. But anyway, I went up there and took a look at it. He says, a good deal, you need to come and see it. A famous movie star owns part of it. So I went up there. It's beautiful, still is. You need to come up there sometimes. You can't wait for me to come to you because I can't have crowds now. I don't want to see you die. So I hesitate to come and see. I can come now. I can. I'm strong enough. I can fly. I can do anything. But you need to come up and see me sometimes, like Mae West said that. So I'll tell you a little bit of the story when I finish after this break. 800-866-8883. Does anybody want to talk to me? Did I frighten you away? I hope not.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
In the first 5-minute opening of this program, I was talking to you how I got to Oregon, and left behind an ocean sailboat, you know, a world cruiser, 43 feet. I got a good deal on it, and I eventually traded for a house with them and got a lot of money from that. Yeah, I came out all right. I've always had a lot of boats, and I like to go fishing and go out a long way to the islands and places with my family. But that story I was speaking about is the story of me being very successful in Los Angeles, not so successful here in a town of the former Ku Klux Klan town, so you imagine what kind of reception I got, don't you? I won't go into that right now. So I didn't know it was the former Ku Klux Klan town, and I'm Jewish. So what do you expect? It happened exactly like that. And we almost got killed, the people here. Anyway, I built a school, and everything's okay. A nice school. But let me go back to my point. Intuitively, I knew there's something terribly wrong that's going to happen 30 years, 35 years ago. But I don't know what to do except speak on the radio about it. And you will see, if you go to my website, I got pamphlets on that subject. And I'll read some to you every now and then I can. And you go, if you want to go to my website, FHU.com, go to booklets. And put booklets that you can just copy them. And it looks like the same as it will close up and put in your pocket. It's about 25 pages, 15 to 25 pages. And you can look for the political ones. And the outcome is exactly as I said. And I'm warning you that you've only got a few months and it's over. You'll lose your freedom completely. And you don't understand the mechanism involved. But let me come back. I've got time to talk about that. I want to finish how I got here. And in case you missed it, what I was saying, I woke up one morning, it was saying, Rogue River? Red River, Rouge River. And I kept on saying that to myself, and it wouldn't go away. And I fired my vice president because he didn't do a good job. So eventually he became into the real estate. And he said, Roy, you got to come up here. You always wanted to help kids. This would be perfect place. It's 400 acres. I sold to already 200 off and paid for the whole Geschmier, see. So But then, it's a very strange thing happened. I bought that property. And then we had a way of helping young people to come there, spend 3 months, and we helped them to become better people, and give them skills and things like that. And I go up there and visit sometimes, and again, the word Rogue River, Rouge River, Red River, I found out it was called Rogue River. See? I didn't know I'd bought something in Rogue River. It's 20 miles outside Grants Pass. See, there it is. Intuitive. I had a hell of a time. I mean, not funny. I mean, they want to murder me because it's a Ku Klux Klan Christian town. It's Ku Klux Klanish. I mean, how do we survive with this? My kids survived. They learned how to overcome it and grow in spite of it, which was a wonderful thing for them. It turned out to be wonderful. They became brilliant. Learning how to overcome it and win the confidence of the inmates, whatever I would call them. See, because I'm talking about people, Americans today, you know, for the most part, I mean most part at this time, are mentally deranged. A big 40% at least. And there's people we can wake up from this. If you're enjoying this program and getting benefit from it, then you need to support it. That's all I'm trying to say. So now let me go with our first caller. It's taken a long time, and I like to chat. But I also like to speak to people who are intelligent, who have used the meditation and used the 7-minute meditation and followed the thoughts and to found what Jesus meant to be the kingdom of heaven is within you. But men do not know it. See? So I'm going to take now some calls, and I'll continue my tirade in a minute. But I'm inviting calls in the second hour. I love to talk with people, and I love to hear their story. And in that story, I can pick out what ruined them. And that's something they didn't see. But then they say, oh, I didn't notice this. I didn't see it that way. It's a matter of not seeing it that way. Or the way I'm showing it, they're always seeing it the wrong way. As if they tried hard enough, they could fix it. No, it only gets worse. Until you find yourself committing suicide because the anxiety is so great. Anyway, John, California. Hello, John. Welcome to my program.
Yeah, hi, Roy. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Roy, sir.
Yeah, great. Appreciate it. Roy, real quick backstory is I've been listening, I don't know, for maybe 16 months or so, and been meditating for almost a year now.
Okay.
And I've had a lot of great success with, releasing resentment. Very little anger left. But I was in one of the, this is just the current circumstances. I'm in an area where a couple months ago we had here in Northern California one of these wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
Now, didn't destroy anything, my property per se, but I'm in a little rural community where it lost, the hundreds of homes got burned.
Yes.
And the effect on me, and I think, somewhat the community, but for me particularly, is I'm feeling these symptoms of PTSD, and I'm almost.
Now, what are the symptoms of PTSD?
I want to just say there's been sort of depression, and I've been.
Not necessary. That is the onward surge. In other words, depression is simply at the beginning or the maturing of what you just said. Eventually you get PTSD and commit suicide. And there's 40,000 people every year committing suicide in America.
Yeah, I wanted to just say, too, is that I've been, along with that, you know, general depression is, you know, also I've been, you know, wanting to, you know, it's I could sleep for probably 12, 14, 16 hours a day.
That's escape. That is called escape. You're escaping into the nothing darkness.
Okay.
That's not good. That's not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have been, you know, again, I'm meditating, but I found myself, we're in a pretty remote area, like I said, and now.
But how is it you can feel that you got benefit and then you tell me you have this? I'm not quite sure I understand. It's either one way or the other. You're either getting better or you're not getting worse. One or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why I'm calling, is because, you know, up until, you know, around the time we had these wildfires,
So what's the wildfire got to do with it?
I'm not really sure, but I know that it was around that time that, you know,
was the onset of those symptoms at that time?
It was at that time, yeah. It was probably a couple of months.
Is there anything in your life that could connect you to something similar happening to you with flames or people burning you? I wouldn't know what it was, but is there anything like that? Someone did something to you that way? Or you saw something?
What I want to say, Roy, is we've discussed, this was another thing, too, along with the anger that I've been able to release, I really had a great overcoming of fear. And so it was...
Now, what was that? You had a great what?
I overcame, through the meditation, I was able to overcome a lot of fear.
Oh, I see.
And so I sensed that a little bit as being, you know, anxious, you know, again, depressed. I just think that this fire was some sort of trigger or trauma. You know, and again, it didn't really affect me. I mean, people lost.
So am I hearing that before the fire, you were progressing and becoming better?
Yes, absolutely.
But the fire terrified you. Let's make it honest. Make it honest. It terrified you. You were terrified about you losing your house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's your mistake. See?
Okay.
That was your moment of truth. If you lose your house and everything, and you didn't get angry, you say, well, it's all gone. And maybe I'm insured or maybe I'm not. But what does it do? Good does it do to you to become afraid or feel like you're afraid for your loss? See, you're comfort. You were fearing the comfort that you had there, fearing the loss of it. See, and I think that's a good thing that you brought that up.
Yeah, fearing the loss of the comfort, you said.
Yes, you're fearful. In other words, your roots were not yet deep enough for you to let it to think of that house is to try to save it the best way you can, and your neighbor too, I suppose. But if your fire, if you have house burned down,
right,
it's only a house.
Yes, good point.
Otherwise, but if you have fear, it means you're not made perfect in love. And there's the anxiety that shows you that you're rooted to pleasure and security, and only God is secure. And if you became secure, you'd have the attitude I have. You have it. It comes. It goes. So what? And you never can be intimidated. And fear does not exist. And that fear has to do with the need you have for the comfort.
Right. And so, okay. Well, that's illuminating. Very good. Yeah.
So really, so one of these days you're going to have something worse than that happen. Remember my words.
Yes, absolutely. And
because you may lose your country. Because I can see the country going down really quickly. And so I may be the last man standing. Who knows? Well, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, we're seeing all kind of symptoms of the demise.
I'm not afraid of the outcome. I know what's coming. I've been in war. I was there. The Second World War. I was in the military. Not that I did it comes to anything, but I was there. I never had any fear. And one time I had fear standing in front of a judge. A little bit, and it went away. That was the end of it. Every time you feel feared, look at it, it goes away. I could tell you something about that in just a minute.
Do you ever feel like you're getting overwhelmed by your own thoughts? Scientists have now seen that thinking leads to behavior. Good thoughts lead to good behaviors. Unhappy, angry thoughts lead to bad ones. Now imagine for just one moment a safe place where you can step away from your thoughts. That's why you need to go to www.antidoteforall.com.
We're always reaching out for an answer and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
7 minutes that will change your life. This technique is being used in the military by people who have been emotionally damaged. Go to www.antidoteforall.com and make a tax-deductible donation so that we can help a veteran, an active-duty military person that you'll never meet, have a better life than they ever dreamed possible. Christmas used to mean more than mere commercial exploitation. It used to be a time for family, for unity, in the remembrance of Jesus Christ. This Christmas, consider helping Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding put Christ back into Christmas by making a donation of $19.95 per month, or whatever you can afford, and help Roy's all listener-supported program pay forward the help he and his Foundation of Human Understanding have done for you over the years. My dad is a pioneer in helping our returning troops overcome the ravages of PTSD without drugs. He has given away over 300,000 copies of his life-saving techniques to our troops. Go to FHU.com and then to the donate page. If you think about how much your life has been changed by what Roy Masters has helped you understand over these many years, if you think about how many people's lives have been changed because of you over these many years, and think about the future as you continue to help keep this program on the airwaves. FHU.com and then to the donate page. Thank you. The Foundation of Human Understanding is a 501c3 church.
Oh, here I am again. John, I'm glad you brought the subject up. And it's a very minor interlude. And so I'm going to share something with you. Who hath fear is not made perfect in love. You understand that? That's scripture.
Yes.
So now you want to perfect what love is. This is how you do it. Now, I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. And you can just say yes or no. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you had this fear, did the fear rise from a part of your body on your left side? Way below the bone there, the lower bone, and somewhere near your stomach, you felt a little buzz. Is that right?
Yeah, and I do recall I had the day of the fire, there I was really short of breath, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Short of breath means you're upset.
Yeah.
It means your adrenaline is, you know, where there's a certain disease, and you name it, where mother irritates the child so much, so the when you're in danger, you breathe heavy, and the reason why,
yeah,
you got it.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
I think you're describing asthma.
Yes, asthma. Yes.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting names, but you can help me with that. Because to me, all diseases are one thing. And one thing becoming the second thing and everything else is also from one thing. And so it's all departure from reality by virtue of the fact that you don't know how to deal with pressure and cruelty and dangers. And then you have to learn that. You have to overcome the overcoming. See, and so, but it isn't that fires that make you fearful or firecrackers or things like that. It is other things in your life that set you up to be afraid and not and to lose your nerve. It could be something in your mother and your father relationship. It could be you hated your father and you took on your mother's fears and worries, etc., etc. I don't know if there's any truth in that. You need to think about that. But as far as the cure is concerned, and because you're on your way, and I've got you to understand that how you must be aware of your fingers moving, tingling, and looking at the middle of your forehead and seeing things that you
yes.
have never seen before, and that seems to work towards making you a better person. When it comes to fear, you fear is that you mentioned that you felt a little feeling in that place in your body I mentioned. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. But the point is the sweat and anxiety is the asthma thing. So if you have too much, if you have a mother, for example, who wavers over you, and you keeps upsetting the kid, I'm just going to come back to your answer in a minute because this makes the point, is that the more upset you are, the more your adrenaline comes to the rescue and makes you breathe harder because you know you have to run a fight. But if you have a mother that is cruel or holding you too tight and being very willful with you, then it becomes anger towards mother, and if you have 20 or 30 bouts a day, the adrenaline is used up and you can't breathe at all, and you have to try to breathe hard because the adrenaline is what gives you the speed to conquer and fight something. But if you are on the journey, the same thing that would frighten the living daylights out of anybody doesn't require hardly any adrenaline at all, because you're not afraid. Because the adrenaline is an animal thing; it's a carnal thing, and it's only for the animal. Fear is for the animal. Run, fight is for the animal.
Yep.
And so, but humans don't react that way. People run into a fire to save their dog. See?
Yes.
And so, I would trace it to your mom somehow. It sounds like you don't know how to deal with pressure or loss of security. That is a feminine thing. That is something that comes from mothers. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I see that.
So that thing that triggers that. So it's something that threatens.
And you're describing the relationship between fear and resentment.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's the trigger, and then that becomes really the resentment.
Yeah, the resentment or the anger becomes the fear. Or
right.
If you're bigger than the fire, then you become bold. But you're not bigger than a fire, of course. You're never going to be bigger than the fire. But when what makes you bigger, the fire is no fear at all.
Yeah.
I was lost in a forest fire in the military and lost my way, and fire was all around us. I don't remember being afraid. We had to pee on a handkerchief, excuse the expression, and put it around our mouth. We almost got burned. It was in southern England. I forget the name of the big forest there. So I don't remember being fearful. It was just what it was. It is what it is, and it's what it must be. Hold the line. Don't go away.
Do you ever feel like you're getting overwhelmed by your own thoughts? Scientists have now seen that thinking leads to behavior. Good thoughts lead to good behaviors. Unhappy, angry thoughts lead to bad ones. Now imagine for just one moment a safe place where you can step away from your thoughts. That's why you need to go to www.antidoteforall.com.
We're always reaching out for an answer and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
7 minutes that will change your life. This technique is being used in the military by people who have been emotionally damaged. Go to www.antidoteforall.com and make a tax-deductible donation so that we can help a veteran, an active-duty military person that you'll never meet, have a better life than they ever dreamed possible.
I was telling you about my, not a fear, but the embarrassment to ask you for money. But now I realize I'm not asking it for me. I'm asking it for the foundation of human understanding. That makes it easier for me. See, it makes it, I mean, I need to separate myself from the foundation. I'm not the foundation. I founded it, yes, but it's not me. And after I leave this earth, you know, somebody else will take it over, but you'll always hear me. You'll never hear anybody else but me 50 years from now. That is, if the bad guys doesn't come and smash everything, because this has become a communist nation. So if you don't expect for anything to happen, I have the opportunity that, more of an opportunity than Jesus, because I can, I have the gift and the fortune of being able to fly over mountains and be reached in Russia and China and everywhere. You can, everywhere you can hear me on the internet. And may I suggest that you, if you don't know the station, you're driving along and you hear my program and you don't know where the station is, just never mind. You can go to my website, FHU.com, and it says, listen to Roy Live. Anywhere on earth. And my words will come sailing over the mountains. And Jesus had a lot bigger task ahead of him. Mine's a lot easier. This is a lot more of you, but I get... And, you know, I'm going to get my persecution. I've been through it already. I remember when I was demonstrating diamond cutting, before I went into the hypnosis, I created the Institute of Hypnosis. I had to find out more what was eating people's brains, so to speak. And, I forgot what the point I want to make. Well, I lost the point I want to make, so I'd be a babbling idiot like a baboon if I just didn't quit and say, please support the program. Look, if not now, support my program. You know, who? See? And if not, now when? All I ask you to do is $19.95 a month is 63 cents a day. Could you give up, if you gave up smoking and gave up something, got better, could you not do that for always?
You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I was telling John that when I was in the military, he went through a big fire and he almost lost his house. You're listening, are you, John?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we went into the fire. It was all around us. We almost got lost. I don't remember fear. The only time I felt a little bit of fear was in front of a judge, because he could take my freedom away over nothing. When I gave up my life as, you know, a diamond cutter and presenting, going from store to store, the fine jewelry stores, and then decided I'd open up the Institute of Hypnosis in Houston, Texas, on Montrose Boulevard for 6 years. That's where I got all my knowledge and understanding how minds work and how evil can overcome us. And when I made up my mind, I've made these records, and I sold the house, and I know why I'm telling you all these things, and I made 1,000 records, and mimeograph books, and I got in my old Mont. I was trying to remember the name of the car, but anyway, and we went. I threw a spinner, a coin in the air, and heads it was to go to California, and then I eventually opened the Institute of Hypnosis, and then I came to the understanding of what's going to happen to the world, and why the world is like it is, and why the people can be. War comes and every 20, 30 years, and why there's wars at home, where there's civil wars, where there's unrest everywhere, it could all be stopped. Your sicknesses, diseases can all disappear. All you need to do is know to be still and know what was that. I had to find that out. And so I woke up one morning, having gone through all that, and all of a sudden, a lady came in, a Christian lady, into the Institute of Hypnosis. I'd completed the understanding of how it was to get a person to be a real Christian. And she is a Christian, but she had problems Christians shouldn't have. Anyways, she came back and she says, "You know, Mr. Masters, my husband says, what happened to you? You're a different woman. Your problems have disappeared. We can get along together now." But what she said to me, she said, "Look, in your Bible, go to page so-and-so and read this passage." And so I did. And there it was, word for word. And I looked at the New Testament for the first time. And I understood every single word of it. And so I don't understand this. I understand that. I see this. It wasn't words to me. It is an epiphany. It awakened me. It deepened everything. So now I'm going to deepen it for you. This is what you know never will be told. You got that little fear. You got that insecurity thing. You're afraid. There's a lot of things involved here, but your mother's involved with it.
Yes.
So your mother's involved with it. So you don't have the courage of a man. You have the worry of a woman, the fear of a woman, the need to have security. And believe it or not, you've succeeded. You must have had a nice house, because the houses around where all that was burning were pretty nice houses. But the point is, it's no good for you to fear. It doesn't help. It's because he who has fear is not made perfect in love. That's what's missing. Something's missing. You're afraid that your security that comes from women, mothers and then wives. And it shouldn't come from mothers and wives. But when it comes from a mother, it becomes one from a wife. Are you married?
Divorced.
Yes. See, you're too needy. Correct?
Yeah.
Yep. There it is.
I'm seeing
See?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. So you need her for security. She couldn't stand that. You want something from her that wasn't good to have.
And yes, so woman-centered, yeah.
You're a woman-centered guy, yes. And so now you've got the security of a house. But it's the security of anything, money, anything, makes you fearful. The more dependent you are, the more fearful you are for what you're depending on. The more you get closer to it, closer to the woman, you can drive her away. Or you get deeply into her, and she gets into you and drives you mad. No. You could just listen to my point of view. All you need to do is understand it's a problem of security. It shouldn't matter if your damn house burns down as long as you live alive. Thank God.
There's a pull toward the security. There's a pull of the
There
comfort.
You go. There you go. There's the pull. You know my story with Maggie?
The pull, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Remember I said to Maggie... Maggie says that, ladies and gentlemen, didn't hear me, so forgive me if I bring this subject up again. Maggie is 7 years old when she first started with me. And she calls me and says, "My grandmother wants to give me toys. Can I say no to her?" And I said, do you feel the pull? She says, yes, Grandpa. She's not my grandpa. I'm not the grandpa, but she calls me that because she loves me. And she says, yes, I feel the pull. That pull is temptation. And you feel the pull, you don't go into it. You have two kids. One is insecure, sailing a boat in a river, a little river, and a stream. Another kid has a sailboat too. And a gust of wind comes and takes both boats away. The boy who is insecure drowns, meaning he's too close to the boat. And it's part of his life. The other one lets it go and say, oh, well. There's a big difference in those two. You have to be different in that sense. If you're going to lose, you have to look at your security. That boat is the security of both boats. One was the security, the other one let it go. And the one that let it go is going to be letting things go for all of his life. The other guy, if he doesn't die and almost dies, will keep making the same mistake until he finds the truth about that, which you are just listening to right now. Follow that?
Follow it, yes.
So when you feel this little... So now when you feel the pull, and I said to Maggie, when you feel the pull, can you stand your ground and not worry about your mother, grandmother, throwing everything away and getting angry with you? Can you stay calm? She said, yes, Grandpa, I can. And she did. And it was simple. Everybody watched it. At least 50 people watched it happen. She's cool as a cucumber. She ran like hell. The fear went away from her, didn't get into her. But if I said to her, don't hurt your mother's grandma's feelings, you know, let you take the gifts. That's like the lollipop. One day a car will drop by and the lollipop will fill the security of a child that's been rejected by the kind man who's going to kill him and eat him. See that? That's how important it is for you to deal with this fear and trace it back to the security you need from women, beginning with your mother, because your father wasn't there to protect you from being a womanizer, being womanized. That's what you are. You're womanized. You're not a man. But you can become a man now by recognizing that you're not a man. And that is the evidence of that. You need security from women. And if not for women, you money. If not money, your house. If not your house, a car. Anything can be addicted to anything. And you can enjoy something as long as you're not addicted to it. As long as you're not getting a sense of security from it. The sense of security. Do you see that? It makes you immune to everything. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, just that, the security, the comfort, the pleasure, all of those things.
Yes, that's right.
That they're pulling.
That's right. And the little girl recognized the pull. And you recognize the pull, and you will feel that in that stomach part where I mentioned little buzz.
Just observe the sensation.
Observe it. I'll give you one more clue. Let's say somebody bigger than you is 300 pounds, and so I beat a 250-pound famous wrestler and weightlifter in South Africa. I was only 150 pounds. I knocked the crap out of him. And he met him. Started me, and I finished him. I wasn't afraid. Not a fraction of afraid. I was all over him. See, but you know, it's just difficult because I dealt with a gang leader in front of his gang and made him run. And all they could see him running away. I didn't lift a finger. As it's all because I know what is in me is stronger than thee. See? So, just to make it nice and clear, is, you know what Jesus says? If a man steals your whatever it was, give him your underwear as well. See that? You remember that one? That's not exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah. Right. Here's your cloak. Give me your tunic. Got it.
Yes. It's nothing should be that important to you. It's nice to have it. And if you don't have it, you don't. But it doesn't mean to say you can't protect yourself from having it taken away. But you've got a big roaring fire, see? So not much you can do. But you can't live, you have an opportunity to see that little breach inside you is pull. And that pull is temptation. The fire is tempting you. The danger to your materiality.
Better to let it go, better to stand your ground than to have resentment.
Otherwise, you're going to lose it anyway, sooner or later. It's going to take you away, and take you with it. And it's the same thing with America. Americans are no longer noble, as so many are. Good, I get the wrong, but there's too many. There's too many people who will not stand up because they fear losing something. The IRS will come. Take the house, whatever. Damn it, don't you understand? This is losing freedom. And the more you lose, the more you will lose. And the more you cling, pretty soon you'll be clinging to the people, to the, you know what I'm talking about, living to cling to the bully, to hoping not to offend him. And you lose all your... What?
It's really sad. We're a feminist culture, Roy.
We are a feminist culture, yes. And and the left wing wants it that way. And that's what's wrong with the men's minds. And that's why there's no men to real men of God to be authoritarian enough in his demeanor. Not his misdemeanor, but his demeanor to be a light to the children. And to the wife. You breed the weak men and bully men. Violent men. That's what we breed. And devil gets his way. And we lose our country. All right, so John, we just go to the last point here. Can you find, just touch his left side and just go below the lowest rib and go down the length of five fingers and where it's soft there. Got it? And when you start to fear, there's a little irritation there, which is based on resentment, anger. Anger and fear connect. See?
Yes.
And so now, let me stage a situation without a fire. So you got this bully standing up to you and spitting in your face or intimidating with you, all kinds of meanness and filth. Now, there's two ways you can look at him. You can fear, or you get angry and fight him. And there's another way. You look at your if there's a fear, which I've never experienced, but I know at one time, a judge, standing in front of a judge. But I want you to become aware of that while looking at the person's eyes. That's all. And just look at it, and looking at the situation. And if you see the reason for, if the fear springs up, you'll feel it. The brain can't feel it because it doesn't have feeling. It doesn't have senses. It's what it does, the sensing. But it can't. You can actually operate on someone's brain and you don't need any anesthetic. The brain doesn't feel fear. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't have feelings directly. It monitors feelings. It's the beginning. It's the principal basis of why you have fear. See? And various strange delusions of this and that, but we're not dealing with your brain so much. We're dealing with your consciousness. Look, become aware of yourself looking in the eyes of this person. Watch this little feeling, this little irritant, like a little buzz, and be aware of that only. But look at the person's eyes. And the person you think the person would laugh at you. No, he becomes afraid of you instead.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I guess tomorrow I'm going to start with Lenin, the father of communism, and show you how that the communists are running your country, and that the president is a communist. And he's also, he's double-minded. He'll face, you know, whether they face east or west, and do their prayers. He does it both. And I think he's a bit of effeminate. And so he's playing both roles, and he doesn't have to do anything wrong. He just doesn't have to do anything. He just has to take your money and have lots of friends and let the house leak and the roof rot and the children get hungry. That's all he wants. And not only that, but the world will close in, and seeing that we're weak, we're emboldening the bullies. The bullies within us and the bullies outside us, outside this, our borders, and coming through our borders. But I will talk to you about Lenin, the father of communism. And he said it was a great mistake to think that concession means peace. That's feminine. Nothing of the sort. You get nowhere by being feminine and giving in to, but giving in when you're intimidated emboldens the enemy, whether it's political, whether it's marital, whether it's on the school playground. It's always something that someone who has no fear and gets and takes down the one that wishes for you to be fear, and you shine like a light. And you can do what no other people could do, but become a standard bearer for that necessity for other people. But the trouble is, when you have that knowledge, when you have that skill, when you have that gift, and you don't know what you've got, you don't know how to transfer it except by example. And that can do a lot of good, but it's still not a good. I want everybody to understand that they're not to be intimidated. And the evidence that you found God and redemption is that. No fear. No matter what happened. No fear. If it's going to happen, it happens. You die, die. That's what life is all about. Not about you and how you feel good and you feel like God. And you want everybody to love you, and you love everybody, and you're King Kong, so to speak. You're a big bully. It's all different forms of it. Ego stuff. It's all ego stuff where you I end up cringing and supporting and serving the worst in human beings, but thinking of it as love. See? And that person may not. You could be your mother. You could be stuck with a codependent mother. And you're 65 years old and she's 85 and 90. And you can't do enough for her. How many people out there like that? You have an old mother. And the more you do for her, the meaner she gets. You never make her happy, never. And you get so upset, you get guilty. When you feel guilty, you feel the good in you seems to talk to you this way. You know, it's... Well, it's your mother, and you know, you feel guilty. Maybe I haven't loved her enough. It goes round and round cyclically. So the more you're driven to get her to love you. And the more she begins to hate you. You could have a mother that will suck you right in and take every piece of life you've got. See? And you can't stop. Once you start giving in, you cannot stop. So you better give in while you still can not give in. Or go to my meditation page. It is, if you don't want to go to the Foundation of Human Understanding, FHU.com, where you get me on radio and you get me on archives, listen to Roy Live and all the good things, and you get this 7-minute meditation. You can take your friend to another place where all there is this meditation, which has no religious aspects to it. It doesn't seem to be that it does, though, but you can't see it. It cannot be seen. It's really an instruction, a direction to a place within. That's what it is. And so, if you just learn to take your friend to this site, it's called antidoteforall.com. Antidote. It's the antidote to everything. But not for bad people. And I want to warn you. I want to warn you liberals. If you're going to die from cancer, try it. And if you get better, you will have become a conservative. I'm talking about also the right, the self-righteous. You better be careful how you use it, because it will reveal to you your hypocrisy. But you people are looking for answers. You know they don't. They have the priest doesn't have it. The rabbi doesn't have it. The imam doesn't have it. It's nowhere. Kingdom of heaven's within you. All you have to do is be still, know. Be still and know. What will happen is this. Is that you'll be taking a journey without knowing it's a journey. But it's the prodigal son part. So the story is that he asked for his inheritance, and then he has fair weather friends, and then he finds himself in a pigsty and says, my father's servants are better off than me. And he comes back, and as he approaches his father's house, he thinks, well, if I was him, I couldn't forgive me. And he's just about to turn back, and he sees his father meeting him halfway. That's where I take you, halfway. Thank you very much. Support the program. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Support me, if not now, when? You see? Or, if not, who will do this? So, you know, why don't you please support my work? When I pass away, and it may happen any day, and maybe I may be 100, who knows? I love what I'm doing. I'm strong as a horse, and God has given me a good. I can't find the word for it, but a good strength. What was that name? I don't think that's the right word, but it's. Try again. Yes, but he's given me something. I don't know how I survive. I really don't. But it's magical. I've seen magical things. I know how to do magical things. But I don't know how it's done. But it's done through me. Support. Thank you. Thank you very much for supporting my program. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.